house of the Lord, you're going to hire a gremlin. When you get that close to him, ready, day in the morning. He's wonderful. He's great. And please remember this week, everything should be done this week, and homecoming next Sunday, right after the service, and then we'll have a song service afterwards. So the ones that used to sing don't want to sing no more, don't be surprised, may call on me. Oh me. But no. But I'll tell you what, when you ask my wife, I said, well, I put Brother Bill on the spot and put Sister Nancy on the spot, so I reckon I'm next. I reckon I gotta put my own self on the spot. I try my very best, but we're practicing. I'm practicing here. When I get home, I'm going to sing. Mm. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right. This morning, if you will, turn in the Bible to Daniel. Chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Got two verses right here on read. And I may go back and read some other verses during the message. But I believe we need to look at some things here. And, you know, I thought about another message, and the Lord said, no, I said, I don't want you to preach that. And I said, all right. So but I try to my very best to have the leadership of the Lord. But here in 2 Daniel chapter 2, excuse me, not 2 Daniel. But Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odor unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the providence of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words that were just read. And Lord, we're just asking now, Father, that you will allow the Holy Spirit to give me the words that needs to be said this morning. Father, I know what I've written down. But Father, we just asking, Lord, for help this morning. And Lord, that we may preach exactly what you'd have us to preach, Father. And Father, we thank you for the people that come out this morning. Lord Jesus, I know that these are some of your choice servants on this side of glory. And Father, we ask in today that you will give them the desires of the heart. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll touch them, strengthen them, encourage them in every endeavor that they do. Father, we pray that whether sicknesses intervene within the family members and the family of the church, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you may touch them, Father, with your divine touch from heaven. And Father, we also thank you for the ones that you've touched, the ones that you've healed. Thank you for the miracles you performed in our lives this past week. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We see right here where Daniel, the king right here, was trying to get Daniel to fall down and worship the king, the golden image there, because he says right here in verse 4-7, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods. Other words, what Nebuchadnezzar is saying right here, he's telling Daniel that the God that you're serving, he is a God above all the other gods that the world is serving. But Daniel doesn't realize, Nebuchadnezzar does not realize the statement that he made there. He does not realize that the statement that he made was really speaking about him. Because if we're not careful, we can get so involved in other things that we'll lose our perspective on what we're supposed to do for the Lord. Now, we know that what Daniel, right here, that when Daniel, when it said Daniel was a great man, and Daniel was a great man. But see, the king right here, Nebuchadnezzar, he was trying to set Daniel up. That Daniel will say, look at me. Here's a man of great wealth. A man that has the political realm on his side, has all the other people coming and worshiping his golden image. And he's trying to build Daniel up. That's the reason he said that Daniel is a great man. He was trying to build Daniel up to where Daniel would do exactly what Nebuchadnezzar would do. That's just like today. The devil himself will build us up. He will speak to us in such a way that we think that it's coming from God. But it says in his word that we must try the spirit. Which spirit are we serving? Which spirit do we have living on the inside of us? We have people, and sad to say, at one time in life, I was this way. I was straddling the fence. I was on the fence. I had a foot over here, and I was kind of leaning toward over here, being close to God. But I could not get the other, my other leg and everything to cross over to where I could go and have them both in the same direction as God wanted me. And if we got any portion of anything in our life that where the devil can use, the devil will use it. The devil will use whatever means he can. And the devil, he don't love you. He don't love me. He don't love the people out here in the world. The only one the devil loves is himself. The only one he cares about is himself. And he wants to get back at God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get back at God. Well, to me, that right there tells me one thing, that when he wants to get back to God for what God done to him, that's just like us as individuals. If we happen to dissociate ourselves from a church, if we happen to leave the church and go to another church or whatever, if we don't watch it, it will be very easy for us to say something about the church that I left. It will be very easy to say something about it. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get off, take our minds off of the service that we have now and get our minds on what in the services that we used to have at the other church where I was a member at. Well, yes, I can take you back to some good times at some other churches that I was at. But it's no need me dwelling on that. Because if I dwell on that too long, then the devil's going to bring up and say, well, you remember this particular time? And he can say it in the subtlest way. Like, you know, Donnie, you got to watch people. You got to watch people. Because you never know what people will say. And the devil will use that. The devil will take that and he will use that in a way to where it will eat at my heart and eat at my soul, to where I will end up getting discouraged in where I'm serving the Lord at. We must try the Spirit. We know what Spirit lives in with us, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that will speak to us and tell us that we're wrong. And the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, they're the only one that will chasten their children, correct their children. He wants to, he corrects us. But he's going to correct us in a way that, well, before he's tried to correct us in the way that he wanted to correct. He didn't want to bring no problems about or anything like that. So he would correct us. But we didn't heed to that correction. But the next time he brings correction, it may be in a way that we don't want. We don't want correction. But he will use it. God the Father will use his correction. Why does he use it? Why will he chasten? And why would he want to correct his own? You can go back to your own family. We don't want our families to go about saying anything about us and running us down or running the church down or something like that. But that's the reason he will correct us, because we do things knowing it's wrong. Knowing it's wrong. But one thing I can promise you, that the God that we serve and the Lord Jesus that we serve and the Holy Spirit that we serve
never fail us. Never fail us. Oh yeah.
I could probably say, well, you know. Lord, you failed today. I come to you and I was asking for some specific need. And Lord, now it's been 2-3 weeks and you haven't granted. But what we don't realize is he's already granted it. He's probably already answered to it. And we may not see it today. We may not see it in 3 weeks. We may not be able to see it as long as we're on this earth. But I promise you, on the authority of God's word, that he has and he will answer our prayers. And you know the way he answers them? He answers them the way that where he sees fit, to where it's not going to bring any shame, it's not going to bring remorse or anything to the individual that went to him with prayer. He's going to bring the very best out of it. Because God's not going to, he's not going to answer prayer. Well, I need to go and just put him in his place. No, he's not.
Tithe is not y'all's food. He's not doing this. He's not all that faithful to the church. I'm going to put him in his place. No. God don't put nobody in his place. But what God will do, God will allow the Holy Spirit to convict your heart if you're a Christian, and he will convict it in a way the way you know that it's not of the devil. And when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart of the sin, of the disobedience, or whatever, then that's when you get back and you'll come to the altar and you get things right between you and God.
That's the reason I come to altar a whole lot of times. And you know, and I know that during prayer time here, that we have prayer time, we take up prayer requests. But you, let me tell you what though,
there's something special. Sin and your sin.
The Holy Spirit will never fail us. We know the Lord never fails us, and the Holy Spirit will never fail us. They've never failed me, but I fail them a whole lot of times. John chapter 14 and verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." To the redeemed. Speaking of the redeemed is speaking of the people, speaking of God's family that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What brought us to that place in our life? It was the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the one that brought us to that point. The Holy Spirit is the one that come to me and he convicted my heart. I didn't know what it was. I just thought, just my thoughts were just playing tricks on me. But it won't. It was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not play no tricks. He tells it like it is. He tells the truth. The devil, he's a father, and he's a father of all lies. He don't do nothing but lie to us. He will steal our testimony. He will steal anything that we have in serving the Lord. He will steal anything that we got. He will steal the services that we have when we come to church and when we listen to the Sunday school teacher or when we listen to the preacher, whatever, the messaging, and we hear something from heaven. The devil wants to steal that part away from us. And he will do it. You know how he does it today? Go up and down the road, look at the billboard signs, advertising liquor, and advertising all this other stuff, and advertising the world there, advertising. I don't know why that they have to put ladies, I'm not going to call them ladies, because I think I don't think they deserve that name, but putting the women on the billboard up there and have them just about nude. I mean, some of them I've seen some out here, not around in this area, but down in North Carolina, I've seen some to where you could take a handkerchief and make what they was wearing. I mean, a handkerchief like this and use that. What are they doing? They're trying their very best to entice the world. You know why they're doing it? Because of money, because of ego. Because of money and ego is the reason they're doing it. Because they know that if they can have an advertisement up there, or if they got a sale or something like that, then they'll put that up there for people to look at. And they say, I saw an ad down here, and they was having a 60% off. But what you don't realize is, with the 60% that they got off, that it already went up 80% before they even put the ad out. So you ain't getting no bargain, so. And the reason I know that is because there was a lady in town wanting to buy a particular coffee table from over at Lowe's. They've seen his coffee table. And completely solid wood. It was pretty. She wanted to buy it. And she said, well, she's going to wait for it to be on sale. Now, a coffee table now, the way you put it in the living room, and you just got maybe a couple pieces of sitting on it, maybe someone may put the great big Bible on it. But it said it was $1,900 for a coffee table. She said, well, I know they have 50% off as soon as they have a sale. And sometimes they come up and they say, well, we've got a 50% sale off of the sale. But if you come down here at a certain time or whatever, you'll get an extra 10%. Well, she went and looked at it. You know what the sale price was? When they had it on sale? 50% off. $1,951. I mean, you know, what kind of deal? What kind of sale is that? Let me get off of that. But only the Holy Spirit can open our minds and can open our eyes to the understanding of the Word of God. The Lord's love will never fail us. He has such compassion for each one of us. The only time that I even thought about anything about love before I got saved was about, you know, my mother told me that she loved me. Then after I got married, my wife, she told me she loved me, and I tell her the same thing. But it was one thing about it. Neither one of us really experienced the true love until we met the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you call true love, when his Father is in heaven. Because it says in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God." You got the, that's speaking in verse 1, you're speaking about the Trinity. Because you got three words that is significant right there in John 1:1. The Word. Word. You know, true love, but when the Father there in heaven, and we know his Son was there, and we know also the Holy Spirit was there, because John 1:1 tells us. But then within them being there, and then God looked down and he seen a sinful world. He seen what had happened to Adam and Eve. He seen what was going on. So he's his Son. You got to go to earth, to where we're created. You know, we had to kick the devil out of heaven because he wanted to take it over. He won't satisfy with what he had. And see, when he was in heaven, his name was Lucifer there. He was one of the angels there. But then when he's trying to take over heaven, God said, "Nope, sorry." So then that's when he kicked him out of heaven. Kicked the angel out of heaven. He was one of God's choice angels. But he wanted to be better than that. He wanted to be better than God. And we know we have some... We have some churches out here say, "Well, the way they talking, and we better than God. Better than God. They don't even have an invitation. They don't have a song service. They don't have the preaching. They don't have the plan of salvation ever brought up. And if you don't bring up the plan of salvation and give the people an opportunity at the end of the service, an invitation to come." What have you got? You don't have no church. You just got people where they just gather together. But we don't need to be just have people where they just gather together.
But his love is fresh. His love is never gets old. His love never should grow old on any of us. But his love is fresh as the morning dew. You know, I don't know how it was this morning because I woke up a little later, but I know the other morning when I got up and when I left, the dew was all over the grass. The dew was there. You see, the dew didn't last long. Our love for the Lord won't last either if we allow the devil to come in and try us. Says you must try the Spirit. Which Spirit are you serving? Which Holy Spirit are you serving? Which comforter are you serving? To me, there's not but one comforter. But a whole lot of people will say, well, I don't know, this world right here makes me a little happy. That's not a comforter. That's a deceiver. That deceives you. Deceives your life. To the point that where we'll get so upset with ourselves, and we'll end up getting upset with God. I've had people just to come in and I'd be preaching, just then I by halfway through the message they just get up and leave, walk out. They have to answer to God for that, not me. What I got to answer to God about is what I preach and the messages that I bring forth. I got to answer to God for my own self. And you got to answer to God for what you do, what you've done since salvation. And we all need to be connected. We all need to have a connection with our family. We have a need to have a connection with each other here, but we need to have also a connection with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And when I speak about God the Son, I'm speaking about also God's children, because see, Jesus Christ, we know he's God's Son, but we also know that Jesus Christ is our elder brother. He's our elder brother. He's my brother. About 4 or 5 years ago, brother that I had right
behind me, four of us all together. But the one that was next to me, he died. But one thing about it, what times I could and what times I did at first, I went to him and I told him about the Lord. I told him about the plan of salvation and everything. And then it looked like it got to the point that he was told me that one time. He said, now, if that's the only reason you're coming out here, is to see me, is to tell me about God. He said, I'd rather for you not to come back anymore. I said, well, I said, I'll come back. I said, but I won't say anything to you about God. But I promise you one thing. I'm going to mention you to God all the time. And he was in the hospital right before he got at the hospital and come home. I went down out, me and my wife, we went down on a Saturday morning. A mother and I think one of the other grandchildren had come out of his room, and they come out, and she says, "I'm glad you're here." So I told mother, I said, "Well, we're going back and spend some more time with you." Because, you know, I knew the way he had lived his life, and it wasn't all that good. I mean, he didn't live it for the Lord. He'd done some things that I did not approve of, that I did not like. Therefore, at one time, yes, one time in my life, I'd done some of the things that he done. But he also knew that I had changed. And he also knew that I loved the Lord. And my mother says, "No, he wants to see you." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, come on, Mama, let's go back there." She says, "No, he wants to see you alone." I opened the door. When I opened the door, I didn't say a word, because they had a curtain pulled around. But when I opened the door to go into that room in the intensive care, I don't know if he just started or if he had been crying. But I went back there and I seen an individual, a 52-year-old man, cry for the first time that I've ever seen him cry. And he was weeping to the point that he was sobbing. And I went and I said, "Darrell," I said, "Well, what's wrong?" I thought maybe he'd been told some bad news. He says, "Donnie,
why don't you tell him how he's saved?" I've been praying for him over 20 years. My little son, the very first time he told me not to, I was praying for him to
pull that in him.
He told me not to come back.
That the only thing I could do is come back and just preach to him. He said, "Well, then don't come back no more." But I prayed for him for 20 years.
But it's if we're honest with God and we ask God, we pray for a particular individual and we never give up on them, God will not give up. God will not give up on us. We know that. Has he give up on you lately? No. Has he ever give up on you? No. Never will. Why? Because he's God. Why? It's because he is love. He is love. He never fails us. He will never forsake us. He will never turn his back on us. Never will. Never has been. I mean, if he was going to turn his back on anybody, even at the end of days, the time that we're living in now, I believe he would turn his back on us. God knew within that.
tell him, if you do anything to him, you want to.
Bye.
You know when he goes to the Father? I don't know what it is. When he goes to the Father, I don't know what it is. I know I said, I know when he's going to have to go to him. I'm going to go to this, but we're going to have to go to that back up. Some kind of move, because the Lord